Welcome again to Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church and our online ministry, Discover the Word with Dr. Jim, etc. out there. We're studying the book of Acts from Greek reading and research, and we're in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts in verse number 24. Now, out in the world has an idea that you have to suffer to get to heaven. That you have to just really deny yourself and really suffer all your life to get to heaven. It's kind of a Buddhist concept where you deny yourself of all worldly passions and loves and even pleasures to get to nirvana, which is total annihilation. You don't exist anymore. You don't get reincarnated or anything. That's the idea of nirvana. There are Catholics out there that beat themselves with whips and lash themselves. They do all types of things to themselves to cause themselves pain because they think that they're going to merit heaven by it. Even on Lent, people will go without something they really like for a few days for Lent because Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary. What it is trying to merit His graces. We do not merit His graces. We do not merit the grace of God. It's a gift of God. A lot of people will do many things to try to be accepted by God. But the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." In Galatians, the 4th chapter, it says, "For in the fullness of times God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the curse." There is nothing we can do to come to God and on our own merits. That's not going to happen. We're saved by grace. That's all. Nothing else. Now, we're going to talk about suffering for Christ's sake here in this message, suffering for Christ's sake. Suffering for Christ's sake is not going down and have somebody crucify you on a cross. Do you know that people do that? Have you ever seen pictures of people, Catholics down in the Philippines and different places, where they have themselves crucified? To think that they can suffer with Christ. And I can guarantee you, they love God, but they live in such terrible fear that they think that they have to just bring themselves to the point of death and suffering before God will ever hear them. That's horrible. It is blasphemy, really. But now here Paul is really going to suffer for Christ's sake. Paul and Silas and the Christians are going to suffer for Christ's sake. I can guarantee you in a Muslim world today, a Christian is going to suffer for Christ's sake. Let's read this now from Greek and then go into English. Hos paragaleon to toi autein labon ebelein autos ante esoteron philakein kai tus potas esthalasato auton eis to zelon. And now what we have here is we're going to have Paul and Silas thrown into jail. And there was a charge brought against them, such certain charge. Having received this charge, he threw, the head jailer threw them into the inner, the esoteron phylakein. That word inner there means solitary and confining. It's a dungeon. It is maximum security. You got all of that? It's a dungeon. It's a maximum security cell. And it is in basically solitary confinement where they were. In this inner lockdown, maximum lockdown prison. The word prison means to the door on the other side of the key. The door on the other side of the key. In other words, there's a door there, but only one man's got the key to that door, and that's the jailer, and that's the guard. The man on the other side of the key, That's literally what prison means. And not only were they put in this prison now, they have chains on them, don't they? Mm-hmm. They have chains. They have all types of chains. They have handcuffs basically on and leg irons. And that's not enough. They're going to do something else to them. Now, they're going to take their feet and they're going to secure their feet in stocks. They are locked down, locked down, locked down. Their feet are secured in wooden stocks. These wooden stocks. Triple lockdown. The innermost maximum security cell. They have chains on them. They have leg irons on them. And now they're going to put their feet in stocks. Well, they can't get up and do anything. Now it says, and then he secured for himself their feet in wooden stocks. Verse number 25, kata de to meso nikteon, paulos kai silos, prosukomenoi, hymnon, ton theon, epikron ton, or kron to, de auton hoi desmioi. And then it says, moreover, according to midnight, in the middle of the night, that comes from meso and nikto there. Our word night comes right out of this word nikton. The word night, you don't pronounce that G-H there, and just like you don't, just like this nikton, nighton, or nikton. In the middle of the night. Now, what do you do in the middle of the night usually, Sharon? Sleep? Sleep? Marilyn, I know you sleep in the middle of the night. Now, these boys here are in bad shape. And sometimes being in bad shape might keep you up at night time, and sometimes it might draw you a little closer to God, huh? And it did them. Over about midnight, in the middle of the night, Paul and Silas, they were praying. They were praying. Well, a few moments ago, we prayed. We prayed for Gary Yak's family. My cousin that died of coronavirus in Bakersfield just a few days ago. We prayed for Christine and Jason's little baby, their grandchild that has heart trouble. That we pray that God will bring him through this or just heal his little body. We prayed for Donnie and Hannah and Chris recovering from coronavirus. We prayed for all of these different people that need prayers. That's what they were doing right here. They're praying. They're praying for all of those around them now. Probably not praying for themselves so much, but praying for everybody around them because this is going to happen to all of them sooner or later. And they kept on praying. It says here that it's a present participle, middle voice. They kept on praying because they needed it. They needed help for themselves and help for the world around them, that middle voice there. And that participle is a continuing thing. And it says here that they kept on praising God in songs. And the word here is hymnon. We got a word hymn right out of this. What is a hymn? Let's look at one time I preached a whole revival on songs. I took a song book and I took every song that was a Christian, what we call a gospel song, and I preached a sermon on that. Or preach the message on that song. They wanted me to preach. I mean, I had just surrendered to preach. And boy, this was rough. Now, talk about suffering for Jesus. I had allergies so bad down there and asthma, I could hardly preach. An hour or so before I would go preach, I would go down. I bought a whole lot of nasal inhalers. And the only way that I could get up and preach, because I was just strangling from this nasal problems that I was having back then, allergies. I would lay in my bed, up and my head upside down off the end of the bed, and I would fill my sinuses with this medication. Fluid. I'd fill it up until it was coming in my throat. And I'd lay there for a half an hour, then I'd get up and blow my nose, and I could breathe for a few minutes for a while. And so I could get up and preach. I just now thought of that one and remembered that one. That was quite a deal. And they kept on singing hymns. And as I took these hymns and I preached messages on each one of these hymns, one was the Old Rugged Cross. What else do you think that might be a real good Christian hymn that we have today? They didn't have that back then. They were singing the Old Testament hymns, what they were doing. And they were praising Christ. The Old Rugged Cross. Jesus loved me. This I know. I did a sermon on that. John 3:16. You know, that's real easy. Well, they were singing hymns. Hymns are gospel songs. And they were praising Him in the imperfect tense here, by the way. It's continuous action. They were praising God. And they kept on listening. The prisoners kept on listening. The other prisoners kept on listening. There are hymns in the Bible, Ephesians 5 and 14, 1 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 2 and 11 through 14. These are early hymns. And I think that Paul was singing some of these early hymns like this. But the prisoners around them in the other rooms were all hearing this. What in the world's going on? They're keeping us up in the middle of the night. If you go out in a motel room or some real close house or something, an apartment, and you start making noise, they'll start banging on the walls. Shut up, shut up, shut up. But instead of banging on the walls here, they're listening. They kept on listening. Ophno, suddenly. Ophno de seismos. Egeneto megas hoste sali sine ta themalia. Tone or two, desmo teroyo, anux theson, de, para crema, he, thire, passe, kai, ponton, ta, desmo, anethe. Ophno, suddenly, suddenly, this is a little adverb here, ophno, suddenly. There became a seismos. What's a seismos?
An earthquake.
An earthquake. We got a word seismology or seismic activity from this word here. There is a great earthquake. And this was a great earthquake, a mega. We got to get mega fries, mega drinks, and all that stuff. It's your deal. This is mega here, big. Hoste so as to be shaken. Salitene, to be shaken, the very foundation, the themelia, the foundation of the place of being bound, is what it says. Desmoteriu. The place that these people were bound and shut down and locked, they're behind that door, behind that key locked door. And they were opened up. At once, parakrema, at once the door of all of those that were in chains and bound in any way, including Paul and Silas. Their bonds, their chains were loosened up. They no longer were in stocks. They no longer had handcuffs on them or leg irons, but they were all free now. Asipnos. That's what it says. Asipnos de menomenos. Ho desmo philox. Kai don anog menos. Tas theros tes philakes. Aspasamenos. Tain mykairon. Emelen eauton ane rein. Nomizon ek temphigni, tus desmios. Now God is acting here greatly, isn't He? What happens? Prisoners are hearing them saying, why are you praising God and you're in prison? Why are you praising God and you're in prison? Well, they hadn't robbed the bank there, had they? Had they? Did they go out and murder anybody? Had they robbed and lifted their pocketbooks? They stolen their cattle? Killed their children, wives, or anything like that? Now, religions do that, don't they? You study the history of Catholicism, and you'll go through towns, and they're killing people all over. Islam did the same thing. Killing, killing, killing. But this is the true religion of God. It's not going to kill people, but it's going to make them live. It says, awake, wake up. They woke, and they woke up. Exo-hypnos. They woke up out of a hypnotic trance, it says here. That's hypnos. That's a hypnotic trance. That word is hypnotic trance. Hypnos. A hypnotic trance. And having become the jailer, the one that puts people in jail and the one that puts the manacles and the leg irons and the stocks on them. And this one, having seen that all the doors were opened up, all the doors of the prison, he drew his sword. He drew his sword. Now, what do you think he's going to do with his sword? You think he's going to start killing the prisoners? Or what? He's drawing a sword now.
Kill himself.
All right, you think he's going to kill himself. Now, there was a man one time. His name was Cassius Clay. He was an abolitionist. I think Cassius Clay, which became Muhammad Ali later, was named after this man. This man went to the podium with a Bible on one side and a Bowie knife on the other side. And he was a speaker, he was a writer, and a newspaper man. And Cassius Clay was attacked 2 times for his views about turning slaves loose and giving them freedom. One time, this man, as he was getting ready to get up and speak, he got up and shot him with a pistol. Instead of falling down, Cassius Clay pulled out his Bowie knife and chopped his nose off and chopped his ears off and disabled him totally. Another time he was stopped in the middle of the night and they grabbed his Bowie knife out of his hands. When he wrestled his Bowie knife back, there were 3 people that jumped on him. They're tailors, what their names were. He ended up in stabbing one and killing one. And greatly injuring the others. They tried to kill him for his views. You see, freedom of speech is a very precious thing. We may have to fight for that now. I know we're going to have to fight for that again. Because it's something that is disappearing in America. So we may have to fight for that again. Cassius Clay fought for freedom of speech so he could teach people. He was from Kentucky. He was a great. His cousin was a great famous Henry Clay. Henry Clay was called the great compromiser. Cassius Clay was called the great spokesman and an advocate. He didn't die until the early 1900s. He was born in early in the 1800s. A great man, a great leader, a great spokesman. He took that Bowie knife to protect himself. He carried his Bible and he carried his Bowie knife. Now here this jailer probably doesn't have a knife as quite as good as Cassius Clay had. or Jim Bowie. And he said that he drew his sword, his Micheiron, and he kept on being about to kill himself, having understood, under understanding, this word nomizon, comes from nomizo. He's going to kill himself. He's having supposed that all the prisoners have escaped and gone away. Now, what was the law at this time? The Roman law. This is a Roman guard now. What's the Roman law? What's the law? If you had a prisoner in your possession and you let him escape, you would die. Now, my great-great-grandfather, Samuel Eichard Paul, he was really the real Rooster Cogburn in Indian Territory. He was the first Indian Marshal. Indian U.S. Marshal in Indian Territory. The law stated, if you have a prisoner in your possession, and if you allow, do not allow him to escape. Do not do it. Don't do it. Stop him with any means of deadly force, but don't let him escape. And several of his prisoners were killed in the process of escaping. So this man here, he knows that he may be crucified. Now, crucifixion is not a very good death, is it? And the least thing that could happen, he would be beheaded. Now, he's looking ahead at the humility and the public execution. He said, I don't want that. Now, this word nomizon there, that means he calculated it by rationally calculated. He's rationally calculated that he's got to have to kill himself because all of his prisoners have escaped. Verse number 28 now. This is a beautiful story. The Philippian jailer. Eso ne sin de Paulos megale phone legon maidane proxes si auto kakon ha pontes gar esso esmen ana thade. Now here we have Paul. The subject of this sentence is Paulos. It says here, Ephanesen de Paulos. Now, Paul is the one that's talking here. We talk about interpreting Scripture, who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject. So Paul is the one speaking. That's a nominative singular masculine. He's the one speaking. And he calls out in a great voice or sound. He hollers real loud. It says, nothing, Mayday, nothing you may do to yourself. Don't do yourself any harm. That word is cock on there. That means bad. Don't do yourself any bad. Don't do yourself any harm. For all of us, we're here. We're all here. We haven't gone any place. Nobody's gone. And then verse number 29, Aitisos de Forte Esa Pedesen Kai Entromas Genomenos Prose Pesen To Paulon Kai To Silon. Now, all of these people were religious in some way, weren't they? This jailer was religious. This jailer was a religious. He was a man of probably that had tortured people. We know that he locked down Paul and Silas in socks and in leg irons and chains. Probably didn't have any mercy upon them at all when he put them in prison. Just looked upon them as any other prisoner. And then it says, having asked for lights. He asked for light, photon. He rushed in and trembling, having become, he fell down before Paul and Silas. He fell down. Now, he gets a light. He comes in there. He's either got a lantern of some sort or a torch. It's some kind of light. And he's got lights. They're plural. He's got more than one. He's got several lights, and he's going to look the situation over. He's going to case the situation. Kai, trosa gogon, autos exo efe, krioi, ti me de poien hina soso. Soso. And having led forth, he led them outside. And he said here, lords, masters. He said, you are very powerful people. You're lords, you're masters of the universe. You have some type of supernatural power. He calls them lords. Then we have a little interrogative particle there, T. And then me, first person pronoun. And he said, masters, lords, how can I, literally that word is they there, third person singular, impersonal active little verb there. And it means, what is it bindingly necessary for me to do in order that I may be saved? Now, you're all right, but I am in a terrible situation here. Now, a few moments ago, what was he going to do? He was going to kill himself with his sword, with his bowie knife, so to speak. In verse number 31 now, he said, what must I do to be saved? Hoi de epon pistioison epiton curio eison kai so theise ah kai ho oikos si. And Paul and Silas, both together, they said to him. They both said this. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Silas, but Paul and Silas, they had the same story. They had the same message for this man. And they said, you believe upon the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and the whole household of you, your whole household. A lot of times, if a Roman guard or something, if they become a disgrace, guess what? They killed them and they killed all of the family both. They killed them and they killed their family. Now he said here, you are going to be saved and your whole household is going to be saved too. Don't worry. The Lord is here. 1632. Kai laleison. Auto ton logon. Tu kiryu. Si pasin tois en te oika. Auto. Verse number 32. And they spoke to them the word of the Lord. We just got to telling people for the last two messages how important the word of God is. The word of God is more important than any of your experiences or what you believe or anything else, because it is the full, what we got, our full reason and rule of faith and practice. They spoke to him the word of the Lord with all the ones in his household. Maybe everybody in his household, maybe he lived there at the prison. Everybody runs out and finds out what's going on. Are we all going to be killed? Or are we all going to die? What's happening? This man was a very important man in his family. He probably fed and clothed them all. And on his own person, their life and death existed and depended. Kai para labon in verse 33, autos en ekene te hora, tes nictos, elusin, apo ton plegon, kai e baptise, autos, kai hoi, auton, pontes, para crema. And having taken them in that very hour, look at this word hora there, is where we get a word hour. Hora and hour are the same word. We don't pronounce the H in our word hour. It's not hour. But here it's hora. This is where we get our word in that very hour of the night. And that word, our night word, night comes from nictos. He washed. Now they had been beaten. And this jailer now, he washes them. He washes their stripes. And he was dipped, him and the ones, all the ones, immediately they were all baptized. Everybody's baptized now. Verse number 34, and that's where this message is going to end here. Ana gogon, te, autos eston, oikon, para thekein, tra pezon, kai, ega liasto, sato, panoikoi, pamp pis tu alkos, tu, or tothio, and having brought up them to the house, he set before them a trapezon. A trapezon is where you, a level place where you put food. We have a trapeze. A trapeze is what? It is a level piece of wood or handle that people do exercises on in the air. Trapeze artist. Here we have the word trapezon. This table, he set before them a table, and he exalted for himself with all of his house, having believed in God. His whole household believed in God now. Now let's go back and let's read this from the Amplified Bible, 16, verse 24 through 34. And having received to a strict charge, he put them in the inner prison, the dungeon. And he fastened their feet in stocks. Now they already had chains and handcuffs on, or irons. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now this is a whole prison now. They're in a separate room, but everybody's listening to them singing this night. And it's the middle of the night, everybody ought to be sleeping, but they're all listening to these words. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were open, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. When the jailer was startled out of his sleep, he saw that the prison doors were open. Now, he's in a hypnotic trance. God has put a hypnotic trance upon this man. It's more than just a sleep. All of a sudden, God lets him wake up. The jailer was startled out of his hypnotic trance and saw that the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then the jailer called for lights, and he rushed in, and trembling and terribly fell down before Paul and Silas. Now before he fell down before them, and put shackles on them, and he put leg irons on them, and he put their feet in stocks. But this time he's trembling with great fear. And he brought them out of the dungeon. And he said, "Men, what is necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" I think this man was really afraid for his life, and now he's afraid for his very soul. And they answered, "Believe in the Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, give yourself up to Him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into His keeping, and you shall be saved." And this applies both to you and to your whole household as well. If you'll all believe, his whole household, if you'll all believe, you may be saved. And this way is spiritually saved. Jesus said a long time ago, He said, "Don't worry who can kill you and take your life, but He that can take your soul and cast you in eternal flames and fire." And they declared the Word of God, that is, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his household. Verse number 33, "And he took them the same very same hour of the night, and he bathed them because of their bloody wounds. And he was baptized immediately, and all the members of his household." They were all old enough to believe, weren't they? Verse number 34. "Then he took them into his own house. He set food before them and treated them like magistrates or kings. And he leaped much for joy and exalted with all his family that he believed in God, accepting and joyously welcoming what he had what had been made known to him through Christ." Isn't that a beautiful story?
Yeah, it is.
The Philippian jailer. What do you think about that?
It's one of my favorite Bible stories.
Okay. It is, isn't it? This is when people... This guy was a pagan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a pagan. And now he becomes a Christian. Now that doesn't mean that all of his paganism is washed out of him. He's still going to have to go and rethink everything that he's believed all of his life, isn't it? He's going to have to rethink it all. So the struggle isn't over, but eternal salvation has been attained, hasn't it? Eternal salvation has been attained. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word, the power of it, and the strength of it, and that these stories, events in the Bible are real, they really happened. Father, I know many people out there in the world don't believe that these are real stories, but they are real historical events. And I thank You for this story of the Philippian jailer and Paul and Silas and the salvation that was wrought that night through Your Word and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for all the blessings You give us in this world and protection. Father, please forgive me where I fail You. In Jesus' name.